Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as you have already heard, is Holy Trinity Sunday. It is chock full with beautiful Trinitarian hymns sung over the centuries, and it is the day that we get to recite the longest creed in the church year. Now, I know many of you probably think, boy, that's probably the creed that pastor would like to recite every single week because it's long-winded. And guess what? You'd be right. It is a clear confession of who God is. Because realistically speaking, it is impossible for us to really grasp the magnitude of how our God is one God, and yet three distinct persons. This has so befuddled people that they try to use their reason to explain this all away. Luther, in his sermon for today, talks about three different groups of people. There are some who hear of our God and reject it outright, and no matter what you say or do to them, they will continue to reject. There is another group who hears it, respects it, submits to it, our group. And then there's a third group who takes a look at it and says, I don't think God's word is enough. Yeah, I'll believe it, but I want a revelation for myself. They'll write books about it. Jesus Calling is a book that you should not have on your bookshelves. It is written by a woman who did not believe that the Bible was enough of God's word, and she prayed for direct revelation to herself. I know that it's hard because we get swept up into what the bookstores promote. We want godly books. We want books that will increase and nurture our faith. But we must be more discerning. Read the Book of Concord. Read your Bible. Read them again. Find the books that have stood the test of time. Books like The Purpose-Driven Life and Jesus Calling will not stand the test of time because they do not grasp the truth of who God is completely. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul speaks of these things. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of God, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? His ways are past our finding out. And if you try to wrestle through what the Trinity is and put it down to paper and use all sorts of example, we still won't fully grasp it. So we need to submit. There are things in God's word that do not fully make sense to us. That's okay. He's God. We aren't. We can trust him. If he says that he is three in one, then we will believe it. Yes, there are so many in this world that have rejected the triune God, trying to use human reason instead of God's word. There are giant religions in our world that reject this. The religions of Judaism and Islam reject that Jesus is God. They reject this and claim that we as Christians are polytheists. That is, that we have more than one God. But to reject the godhood of Jesus puts one outside of the Catholic religion. And as we have confessed, and has been confessed for 1,500 years, you must hold the Catholic faith. But Pastor, I thought we were Lutheran. We are, thanks be to God. But being Lutheran means that we are a part of the universal faith. We have not rejected the time-tested positions of the church because the church is the bride of Christ and the bride submits to her bridegroom. So if God says to Moses, write this down, And in the beginning, as he created, he speaks everything into creation. And the Spirit hovers over the face of the deep. We see our triune God active and living through creation. He says, let us make man in our image. And from that comes us, his most prized creation. If God said, as we heard last week, let us go down to see what these men are making, who is this us? It is once again the eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If the Bible says that Jesus is fully God and yet fully man, that he has always existed, eternally begotten of the Father, but then at a specific time becomes a man born from a virgin, we submit. We believe it. Not because it makes sense in my brain, but because God has declared it. For his wisdom, his knowledge, the depths of the riches of both of these things, how unsearchable, how unpassed finding out are his judgment and his ways. We submit. It doesn't make sense to us why we should be able to go to heaven. None of us should. Have we done enough right? No, we haven't. And yet it's by God's grace that any of us get to go. All of his creation was damned because of sin. But thanks be to God, this Jesus, the eternal Son, did take on flesh and live that perfect life for us. The Trinity doesn't make sense. And so you have heretics in the ancient church like Arius trying to develop doctrines that are in disagreement with the scripture just because it makes more sense to my brain. There are church bodies today that continue to reject the truth of the Trinity. They put a nice name of Jesus Christ in their church's names. They place him at the center of many of their doctrines. And they're nice people when they come and knock on your door. But they do not know who Jesus is. So the next time a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon do show up at your door, point them to the true Jesus, the only hope for you and for them. There are hard doctrines in the scripture. And I could turn this whole day into a Bible study reflecting on the different passages. But there are only a few that I want to make sure that we hit today, because they're important. Not that the others aren't, but these are the ones that cause the most confusion. In the Athanasian Creed, we confessed that on the last day, they will come out of the graves and they will be judged according to their works. That the good will go to heaven, and those who have rejected that and done evil will go to hell. But I thought we're all saved by grace, therefore, that's not how it works. But it is. Give consideration to Jesus' words in John chapter 5. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. The Athanasian Creed is just quoting Jesus. So how are these two things reconciled together? How are we saved by grace through faith alone? And yet, we see Jesus' words at the resurrection. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Of course, when we recognize that good works are God's work through us, this helps us to understand this a little bit better. We will not fully comprehend how both of these things can be true. and yet we submit to them. The fact that you have faith, that I have faith, is not a work of our own doing. It is God's work in us. He sent His Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, to grant us faith. When His word was proclaimed, perhaps it was when you were still inside of your mother's womb, the word planted in your heart. Maybe it was later in life, after you had lived a life apart from Christ, but without Jesus, that's what you do. Perhaps it was just this last year that the word of God held firmly in your heart and you believed. That good work of God transforms you. The waters of holy baptism, that is what makes you born again, born from heaven, born by water and the Spirit, transforms you. You are no longer stuck in the hard, stony heart of unbelief. You are a Christian, and the work of God works in and through you. No, it doesn't make sense to my fallen brain how that water can change us. How that water, when God's word is attached to it, makes me born again, makes me His adopted son. I don't understand it, and yet I believe it. It does not make sense to us how the bread and wine that are here today will be at the word of Jesus, the very body and blood of Christ, given and shed for us, and we will receive the forgiveness of sins through them. It does not make sense that in a world so cold and wicked and perverse and evil, that we get to go to heaven. And yet, by God's grace, we do. The Catholic religion, the universal church, the Christian church, the church called by the name of Jesus. As I said last week, you are set apart. You are made different to follow Him. For those of you who have ended the chapter of high school, perhaps you are moving away from your family for the first time this fall. Perhaps you are going out and earning your own way this fall or this summer. There are so many uncertain things in this life. And depending on which group of people you end up around, there will be tons of people around you trying to convince you that your Christian faith is a mockery. You believe in a sky daddy God? You believe in a six-day creation? What a fool you are. God chooses the things that are weak and foolish in this world to do incredible things. Water, bread and wine, the triune God, the cross of Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, these are all folly to the unbelieving world. But in Christ, they are true. The word Trinity does not appear in the scripture, and yet it is a great example of what the teaching is. Dreifaltigkeit in German, Trinitas in Latin. Luther himself acknowledges these words do not sound the best, and yet these are the words that we have. These are the closest things we get. God is triune. Not because I, as a fallen man, can understand it, because I can't, but because He has proclaimed it. I and the Father are one, Jesus said. The Father proclaims that He is the beloved Son as the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. These things are true, whether our fallen world wants to believe them or not. Jesus also said, in John 15, about the Helper, the Paraclete, He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But Now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened, that the word might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they would keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. This is my commandment. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know what God desires of you, and you know what the world thinks of it. You know what God has commanded of you, and you know what the world thinks of it. Do not give in to the lies of the devil and the world and your own sinful flesh. Rather, when the Helper comes, whom is sent by the Father and the Son, proceeding from them, he will testify of Jesus. And you will bear witness, because you have been with him from the beginning. These are words that Jesus speaks to his disciples, to the men that he will send out. But he speaks those words to you as well. Pastor, laity, church worker, or day worker, man or woman, boy or girl, the words stand for you. Hear of the Father who created Adam and this universe, but also created you. Hear of the Jesus who so loved his Father and so loved this earth that he came down in the flesh to die for Adam's sin, for my sin, for your sins, for the great grandchildren that you haven't even met yet. This is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who hovered over the face of the deep, who worked faith in every heart, including yours, and again, those great grandchildren you might not even have met yet. This is our God. The world will fall away. The world will be consumed in a refining fire. And when the tests come, be refined in that fire as well. In women's Bible study, and this is my last bit for today, in women's Bible study this week, we had a great discussion about submission and how that looks. In our world, the world hates it. It despises it. It mocks us. How on earth can you submit, dear ladies? If you were truly equal, then you should submit to no man. And I pointed them to this coming Sunday. And I said, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are all co-equal. And yet the Son submits to the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit, being co-equal to both, submits to both. I don't get to make the rules. I don't set it. I don't declare it. I simply have to do the same submitting that you do. I submit to the same God that created me male and my wife female. It's hard. I understand that. But once you are free in the Lord and delight in his law and pray for that husband to lead you appropriately in the way of the Lord, you will see the beauty of it. You will see the joy. Just as the Son sees the joy in submitting to his Father, who had to do the hard thing of being put to death. Just as the Holy Spirit submits to both, you have been made co-equal to that man that is your husband. I don't get it. I don't always agree with it. But but I will submit to it until I do. The church sings. Triune God, be thou our stay, O let us perish never. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever. Keep us from the evil one, uphold our faith most holy, and let us trust thee solely, with humble hearts and lowly. Let us put God's armor on, with all true Christians running, our heavenly race and shunning, the devil's wiles and cunning. Amen, amen, this be done, so sing we alleluia. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.